You could say that blow up ruined my life. It wasn't until I got the job at the Soho News that I really was able to focus and really go into a direction that really gave me a body of work and a career.
Stand by, please. Rolling on six now. On six.
This is Adam Scull. Welcome back to another episode of Art World Talks. Perhaps best known for his exclusive opportunity to snap beautiful photos of John Lennon and Yoko Ono during their most private moments, Alan Tannenbaum is also identified by his youthful and exuberant capturing of practically everything representing the 1970s era, from marijuana sit-ins in Central Park to the hot nights in Studio 54. His work behind the lens encapsulated those people and places that shaped the stories about New York when it was dangerous, gritty, exciting, and sexy. A time before celebrities became obsessively protective of their privacy and the media didn't have to wait outside to capture a look. He alone gained entry with his cameras and got behind the closed doors of nearly every scene alive with the creativity and lavish nudity of the 70s, and took it upon himself to provide future generations with the proof that once people were real and uninhibited. Alan Tannenbaum, whose book, New York in the 70s, is now in its second printing. The first question I want to ask you is, did you ever think you would get to even the first printing, much less a second printing?
What's funny about that, Adam, is that it took as long to get the book published as it did to take all the pictures in the book, and you know, which was about 8 years. And when I decided that I needed to do this book and it compiled all the work, I went around to publishers in New York City, all the big publishers. I got an agent, and nobody would take it. And I would hear things that were unbelievable from these editors, and it just sounded so stupid. You know, and one said to me, oh, well, I was at Studio 54. I didn't see this going on. I said, well, you were there every night? And then she said, well, I don't know if we could publish this kind of debauchery. Maybe the Germans would publish it. And that's what happened. I ran into a German publisher, and the first edition was published by a German publisher.
Are they also publishing the second edition?
No, unfortunately, the publisher went out of business. They got overextended, and I managed to get all my publishing rights back from them, as well as the discs to do a new layout. So I found a publisher here in Soho, actually, and got the book published again in a new edition. The cover is different, but essentially inside, everything is the same.
But inside, in your heart, did you ever think you'd get to a second edition, and how did that make you feel when you sealed the deal?
I thought I would do it because people are always interested in this era. New York has changed so much, and people really like to see, those of us who are still around, what it was like. They like to remember it, and for the younger generation, you know, they find it fascinating that things were the way they were and people did the things they did back then. And, of course, all the icons in the music field and showbiz and the art world, different kind of things that went on, the freedom that existed then. So the younger generation finds it fascinating as well.
Back with Alan Tannenbaum and New York in the 70s. So you get a second printing. That must have really excited you in your heart to think that this is really going to see more of a life.
Oh, sure. You know, so that means the book has really been in print for about 7 years now, and I think it'll continue to go. This one hasn't sold out yet, but there's no reason why, when it does, it shouldn't be reprinted. It's not on the New York Times bestseller list, but it's there consistently. And the thing about photo books is you don't usually make a lot of money. You won't get rich from a photo book. They're very rare that happens. But it's a great catalog of your work. And people see it, and you know they'll want to license it for a magazine, or they'll want to buy prints, which is a great way to make money in photography, selling fine art prints. So that's what it's really wonderful, and it's a great reference for people. I always recommend that they get it. And people, you know, it's all over the place, and it's not only in bookstores and on Amazon.com, but people tell me they find it in really unusual places that find books. And that's another thing, is to find venues like boutiques and hotel gift stores for books like this, not just a bookstore.
Let's talk a little bit more about the 70s. It's a question to me of perspective, and here's what I mean. Do you think the 70s were a magical time, or whatever other phrase you would like to label it with, or are we just repeating history in that we are of an age now where we look back on any period of time and see it differently? Or was there something about the 70s that really did resonate differently than anything else that we've experienced?
I think it depends on how you look at life. For me, coming of age in the 50s when rock and roll came along and going through the whole big change that happened in the 60s was a very exciting experience. And I was a San Francisco hippie in the 60s and went through all of that. And I was kind of disappointed when the 60s kind of burned out. And I remember, you know, by 1968, I thought the whole thing was over, even though it was still, you know, kind of going in a wave to places like London. I went to London in 1970, and it looked like San Francisco in 1967. So it was kind of moving on, but for me, it had ended, and I really wanted to get serious and move on. So when I started at the Soho News in the 70s, things had been a little bleak for a while. I taught for a couple of years. I kind of withdrew from the scene, but getting my work going at the Soho News and back in New York and getting involved in the scene, it was, in a way, continuation of the 60s. It was a revival of the 60s, although without all of the flower power stuff.
Were you shooting in the 60s as well?
I started taking pictures in the 60s. That's when I started teaching myself photography and darkroom work. And I was very influenced by the movie Blow Up. I saw David Hemmings in Blow Up playing that photographer, you know, rolling on the seamless paper with Varushka. And having come from a job where he did photojournalism in a flop house, and then going back to his studio, and then that whole kind of mystery that happened in that movie, I saw it three times, and I said, that's what I want to be. That's what I want to do. And I actually got my parents to give me a Hasselblad, like he was using in the studio, for my college graduation. You could say that Blow Up ruined my life. I was also interested in film, and I studied art, so I was interested in painting. I was not really focused, and photography was one of the things that I was doing. I wish I had concentrated more on some of the things that were going on that I would have documented then, and opportunities. I did take my first rock concert picture in the 60s, which is a picture of Jimi Hendrix at Winterland in 1968. So I think that one of the photos is actually here at the gallery. And I've actually licensed that photo, so that's a picture I took, 42 years ago that I'm still licensing. I did do a film then, since I was in graduate school in film. I recently digitized it. You can see it on Vimeo. It wasn't until I got the job at the Soho News that I really was able to focus and really go into a direction that really gave me a body of work and a career.
It's interesting to hear you say when you got your job at the Soho News, I think it would be a fair statement to say, from my perspective at least, you were the Soho News.
Well, there were a lot of other people there. It was a great collaboration, you know. I mean, I'm still in touch with people I worked with, and we're still friends. It was so much fun, and we were just so involved with everything that was going on in the city, you know. So I, for a long time, I was the photography at the Soho News, although I did work with a lot of people, and people you know, like Sonia and others, and other people that I helped get started because I couldn't shoot everything. When I went for the interview there, and it was just one room in the guy's loft, and he looked at my portfolio, flipped through it, stopped at the picture of Jimi Hendrix that I was telling you about, said, you know, I used to be his publicist. And I walked out of that office after he said he was going to give me an assignment, saying, yes, this is it. I mean, this little one assignment, I knew that this was the start. I knew it. And then when I came back and he said, okay, I like your work. I'm going to give you a job as staff photographer. We pay $40 a week. And I said, okay, fine. But, you know, you're only paying me $40 a week. So you're going to have to pay for my materials, film, paper, chemicals. I want to be photo editor in addition to chief photographer. And I don't know how I knew to say this. I knew it. I own the work. And he agreed to that. So that's why, you know, here it is all these years later. And I'll tell any photographer, don't do work for hire. You own the stuff. And thank God I did that because, you know, I'm still making my living. I'm still photographing, but I'm still making my living from licensing images that I took 40 years ago and still making fine art prints from them. So that was the smartest thing I ever did.
What do you like most about your job?
I like the experience, the meeting people. It's photography in itself is a wonderful medium. Will open doors for you and give you experiences anywhere in the world most people can't have. It's a very exciting thing.
What do you like least about your job?
Carrying equipment. Still strong, but I'm getting a little long in the tooth, so I don't like to carry so much stuff. I love it. There's nothing I really dislike. You know, there's a lot of changes in the business, the whole digital transition, the fact that there are zillions of photographers, the fact that the economy's bad and nobody wants to pay for anything. These are the downsides, but, you know, if you're agile and creative, you can prevail and carry on.
Although you touched upon it briefly, what advice would you give to somebody just entering this business of photography now?
Don't do what everybody else is doing. Find something unique. Find a story. Find your style. Find what you like to do. Don't give it away.
Alan Tannenbaum, I think you have a huge congratulations coming to you for a second printing of your book. And I, amongst everybody else, also wish you really well with it.
Thank you so much, Adam. It's great to see you and be with you again, man.